Okay, welcome to our lightning talks. This will be very quickly. Of course, I prepared everything about this day perfectly to the details. I forgot to test one thing, and that is if my second laptop actually worked with the projector, and that is not the case. So I thank for a kind donation of a proprietary MacBook to solve this. How does this go? We go. If you see your slides, you come up, you get this microphone, and you just start talking. So I see slides, well, a mind map, I'll give you a microphone, and you have 5 minutes. Go.
Hello, that's quite different from the previous talk. I'm doing quite often auditing of codes in various projects, mostly in PHP legacy projects, but also in Go code. And one thing I noticed when doing audits of PHP legacy projects, they have stronger historical deployment models. And it's the same for Ruby, you have Rails structures. In PHP, you have symphony layouts and so that kind of thing. But in Go, there's always this quest for the standard layout, and there are no really established practices for how to build applications. And so I had to find what was the things we wanted to examine for clients who were building business projects and not just technical code like the wonderful one we just saw. And so I tried to build an inventory of the points on which auditors' attention would be drawn. And so that's a list. There's a large list with lots of detail. We won't have time to go through over all of them, but it can give you ideas and are quite interesting in discussions about that. One first point at the high level is identifying what are the parts of the code which need to be audited. When you are using an MVP project, you know it probably won't be the controllers if they are light enough. It will be in the model. In Go, you usually don't know. And so I found something very useful for that to be building a heat map. You can use Git to find which is the code which is most often modified and focus your work on those parts of the code. You can also try to identify places where there are CPU dependencies, which can cause issues when migrating from one cloud instance type to another, for example, AMD to ARM, and check the cover map. This also can show you the places which have weak coverage and which need to be examined in more depth. For the project layout, there are many hints. You know the standard layout is not standard. You have many issues like having too much depth in the project, or having, on the contrary, a very wide and shallow hierarchy, because Go recommends longer files with less packages. You have many aspects in the project layout which can give you hints, and a lot of those will be in the main. The main package is often overloaded with a lot of features which are not very useful and should better go somewhere else. I've added the recommendations about that, and we'll put them in the slides. In terms of organization, that's layout and other things, and in terms of dependencies, one thing on which Go, I've found in practice, is not very strong usually, is the management of dependencies, keeping them up to date, ensuring the switch to more recent minor versions and switching to majors when those happen. And sometimes that leads to copies, which are not good. You have static analysis tools. It's a good start to use them. But something which is, in my opinion, very dangerous is the poor use of these of the standard library. The standard library was established at the origin of Go and has legacy practices which are no longer the best state of the art. And you will often see things like the procedural helpers we have in packages like flag or log, which no longer represent established practices. You have that in HTTP package too, like listen and serve taking a nil instead of a default value, for example. Those are tracks. You have a lot of things you can examine. And for example, Dev Chene did a wonderful talk at Kuken China a couple of years back about that. And I can advise checking what he had to say on the topic. Tests, we have been talking a lot about them, and you know how they can help to diagnose places where a project can have problem. And once topic which is specifically interesting, and I only have 1 minute left, is about the parameters you pass to functions. There are lots of things which can go bad with parameters, and static analysis should be enable you to get a lot of them and find what can be done better. Then the last thing for which I have some time is a bunch of recommendations on security, which regrettably do not appear in most analyzers I've seen to date. And I think these are things you want to look at. We are now trying to define whether code is safe or not. And finally, in the last seconds, do not forget, because we are in the EU here, any information which can be private should be labeled and handled as such. And for the rest, you'll have to see the slides where they're online. I've already put the link in the docs.
Thank you. Yep, my spreadsheet, thank you. Can you open the spreadsheet I sent you by mail?
Sorry?
I sent you an email with a spreadsheet. Oh. Can you open it? Last minute laptop change, always fun. Yes, thank you. If these are your slides, come over.
Hello, I'm Christopher, and I'm going to tell you about something I found in the Ghostware that allows me to never ever writing HTML again. Of course, that's resist in my own projects, because you can't enforce things on work stuff and all of this, you know, other people's projects. My name is Christopher. I do a lot of Go. I work at Tailscale, where we use Go. I maintain Headscale, where we use Go. And then important for this thing is that I have a lot of hobby projects, and the common denominator with all the hobby projects is that they usually don't end up in a finished state. At some point, you know, you start, it's fun, and then you forget about it. And one of the reasons because of that is whenever you make something, you have some data, for example, like let's say you everything from like automating your house to some sort of silly project displaying something, you get data from one place and you want to put it somewhere else. And then you have your Go struct and it describes some data. And in this case, let's say it's a to-do list that I'm making. And traditionally or typically, the easiest way to display this to people is in HTML. So what I want to do is take you as part of like what you tend to have to look at when you're doing the web design masterclass pending 2026 about, you know, generating your to-do list and printing it out in HTML. So this is the result from basically all examples I'm going to show today and which one I think is the neatest. So in Go, when you're making non-static web pages, you have Go template, which allows you to write like HTML interspersed with like this template tag language. I also added like some of these really weird white space and truncation, the minuses, which I still have nightmares from when using it for Helm and YAML, which some people might relate to. And it's a okay way to write HTML and templates. It's not typically very well supported in terms of like autocomplete, IDE support, all of these things. It's kind of, you just hope for the best. Then I used to use a lot of Django, and then the first thing I looked for in the Go spare was like, oh, is there something that looks like Jinja? And of course there is. But you have the same kind of problems. You end up writing most of the HTML manually, but there's sometimes better tooling, if you're lucky. And then I saw one of my colleagues find this thing called Temple, which is kind of like JSX or like the React world, but in Go. So you get a separate language where instead of funks, you write temples, and then you can write HTML within Go functions, but all the control flow logic is normal Go. But then you have a new problem. It has a you need to generate a Go out of it. So basically, this temple code generates into something like this. I don't know how visible that is, but it's yeah, then you can start like debating with your teammates or even yourself if you want to check that into Git or if you want to deal with like setting up a massive CI chain. But then I was thinking about like there's one time in my life I was truly happy writing